Wonderful. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for this blessing to serve you, to obey you. We are grateful for your help at this time. Guide us by your Spirit and let your will be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hello? Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. Hello? 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 So give me back the other microphone. It was not the microphone. Hello? All right. Well, we are excited to be here. And I believe that. Just some time to be testing the microphone before you chat. We are trying to test the microphone, please. I believe that God is going to bless us. Father, thank you for that blessing. Thank you for your power that is working in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. The microphone, please. I believe that God is going to bless us. Amen. Father, thank you for that blessing. Thank you for your power that is working in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's chapter 13. Yeah. Numbers 13. The theme of our camp is no city shall be. It's not a microphone problem. It is something else. All right. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All these men were heads of the children of Israel. All right? And their names were the names of the tribe of Reuben: Shammua, son of Zakur; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. I'm sure you don't know these guys. Yeah. You'll never be known when you don't enter the city or the land that God has given to you. You will never be known and you will never be important in God's kingdom if you don't enter and possess the city that God has for you. You will never be known. You know Joshua. You know Caleb. And you name your children after them. But these people who are sent, are you wanting to take your seats? Are you? You never know them because they are not important to Christianity, important to God. God killed them, all of them, because they were not important. Because God had a land for them, a city for them, and they never possessed it. Are you there? Of the tribe of Judah, of verse 5, of the tribe 6, the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Of the tribe of Issachar, Igal. These are like the names of dogs. The names of trees, horses. You hardly meet somebody call his child Igal. No. And then of the tribe of Benjamin, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshia. That's Joshua, the son of Nun. And of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gedeel, the son of Sodi. No. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely, of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi. Gadi, the son of Susi. You'll never be important when you don't enter and you don't possess the land, the places that God has given to your destiny for you to possess and dominate. Never. And of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gemali. And of the tribe of Asher, Setur, the son of Michael. And of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vusi. And of the tribe of Gad, Geuel, the son of Machi. Verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land of Canaan and said, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring up the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men cometh to Hamath. And they ascended. All right, verse 23. And they came to the brook of Eshur, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshur, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. Right? Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites. They dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Chapter 14, verse 1. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives pray, not better? for us to return to Egypt. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread to us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said, how long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be before they believe me for all the signs I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among these people. Thou hast art seen face to face over them, and thou goest before them by daytime and in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of the Lord be great according as thou hast spoken. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt up until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt, the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had other spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whither into he went, and his seed shall possess it. Amen. Do you want to change it? Well, it's good to read the Bible, isn't it? If you haven't read it before, hello? If you haven't read it before, at least you get a chance to read it. And if you've read it before, you get a chance to see the English words that are written, isn't it? Yeah. Now, Numbers 14:24 says that, but young man, stop taking pictures. Come and sit down. Don't take pictures. We finished. I'm the same person in the same scene. Don't sit at the back. Don't sit at the back. Come and sit here. Sit by Pastor Justice right here. Right. Beautiful. Now, my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, right, not a demon, and has followed me fully, right, him will I bring into the land, all right, and his seed shall possess it. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, God's work, his seed shall possess it. Amen. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, God's work is about possessing the land that he gives to us. That's God's work for us. The lands are filled with people and with devils. And the devils came on the scene. And the devils have affected the way things go in the areas that they are. In Africa, the devils have made the place into a wilderness of unimaginable poverty. In Europe, America, and the Western world, God's work is about possessing the land that he gives to us. That's God's work for us. The lands are filled with people and with devils. And the devils were here before the people came. All of us were born into a place where there were devils long before you came on the scene. Some countries have a lot of more murder, when there's a lot of murder, there's a lot of Satan himself present in these places. So, all through the Bible, you find that God gives his people places to go and possess. All right? You know something? If you live long enough to get to a certain age, you are going to find out that, like if you have like an average school to go to and you finish school, soon you're going to achieve many of your goals that you set for yourself. You see, now if you are the philosophical type of person, you will think about your life. And that, not everybody is philosophical. The way things go in the areas that they are. In Africa, the devils have made the place into a wilderness of unimaginable poverty. In Europe, America, and the Western world, devils have turned the place into all kinds of perversions and twisted person. You will think about your life. And that, not everybody is philosophical. Some people are philosophical and they think a lot about, why am I here? What am I doing? And so on. And they think deeply. And sometimes they talk about the things they are doing. Somebody like Muhammad Ali was like that. If you heard him, there was once a little video that was going around. He was talking about life. What is life about and what is worth? Yeah, people think Malcolm X was also like that. And I'm sure Martin Luther was like that. There are people who think and analyze, you know, what's happening in life. All right. Some people like that write songs. And then it comes out in their songs. Solomon was another person like that. He was always analyzing what was happening. Leave it for somebody. I don't know who is coming to take it. A fool is coming to take all the things. He doesn't know how I worked hard. He doesn't know how I came to have all the things that I have. So, if you are philosophical, at a point you start to think about your life, what is it about? And then you become, you know, you start to wonder what you are doing. This is one of the reasons why people suffer from depression. People who have things and don't really need anything. There is nothing to get. You can imagine what it's like for the princesses and the princes. These Prince Meghan Markle and Prince Harry and these type of people. What do they need? You get it? Because like you can work and work and work and work and work and you don't have anything. But somebody hasn't worked. And Prince Harry and these type of people, what do they need? You get it? Because like you can work and work and work and work and work and you don't have anything. But somebody hasn't worked and has inherited a castle. Do you see? He's not worked before and has inherited a castle. And somebody's working and working and working, cannot own one room. You get it? You get what I'm saying? That if you are a lady, your vision will have a lot to do with having a husband, having children, having a ring, having a picture, having a wedding, and all that. When that is over, and you have achieved those goals, then you see a different character. That's when you see who people really are. Because the unknown vision within them. Of course, most ladies don't think, like most men also don't, they're not philosophical. But if you are, you start to analyze. And you realize, I just came to the world to have a child and to go out of the world. But if you think in that roundabout way, you start wondering what you are doing. And you start wondering what it's all about. Because after a while, you achieve most of your aims. You got a child, I've got a husband, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. Even if you don't have a husband, you have a child, you have this, you have that, you have that, you have a ring. Even if you don't have somebody living by you, but at least I have a picture, I've got a ring, I've got this, I've got that. I mean, you analyze so many things. It's true. Yeah. So, I'm just trying to say that life is such that it doesn't take too long sometimes. Sometimes it takes a long time, but it doesn't take too long before many of the things you dreamed of, you have. You see? Then what will you do? You see? Then you keep on going on and on and on, grasping, trying to have a little bit more of the same thing, which you don't need. So, finding the reason why God brought us here is very key to your well-being. Yes. It's very key to your mental health. It's very key to your continued existence and to your continued well-being in every way. Hallelujah. Is what I'm saying too philosophical for you? Are you sure? Yeah. Amen. Revelations chapter 4. Verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, please come all the way to the front. Come all the way to the front. Come all the way. Please, you are not late. Don't worry. Come all the way in. Don't come to the camp and be outside, please. Please don't be outside. Amen. This is only the second scripture that we are reading today. So, you are not late at all. Thou art worthy, O Lord, all right, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. That is you and me. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. You are created for God's pleasure, to make God happy. That's why you are here. So you have to choose that in your life and with your life, you are going to make God happy. Getting a television is not going to make you very happy. You watch and see. You soon see a newer one. A curved one. A circular one. A lighter one. A smaller one. A clearer one. For sale. And the one that you bought for 5,000 is now 300. Is it true or it's not true? And everybody is buying one of the one that was so special to you. It's now nothing. Huh? So, pleasure, giving somebody pleasure is an art which involves faith. Now, I don't want to go into the art of giving somebody pleasure because you have to believe, you see, and that's what you're going to have to believe with fewer words. You have to believe when somebody says, this is what makes me happy. Yes. You have to believe it. If somebody says, this makes me happy, this makes me happy. You have to believe it because you may not know what makes somebody happy. Now, I wish I had my other phone here. I'll show you a picture somebody sent me of rice. He said today I had my favorite meal from my childhood. He said, this is my childhood favorite. Wow. Yes. And it's rice and afflicted girls. Afflicted is. I don't know if you have it here. There's these termites, winged termites, that fly out of the out of these ant mounds. And they fly after rain, like that. He sent me the picture. I wish I can show you the picture. He said, "Daddy, this is my favorite meal," and he had made it beautiful, and he was eating it, nice grilled. It is his pleasure. It may not be your pleasure. It is his pleasure. He said, "It is my childhood delight." You have to believe it. You can't fight it. You can't tell me what I like. You can't tell me what to like. What do you mean? Who are you to tell me what makes me happy? You can't cook something for me and say, "This is not." When I was a child, I would have to eat what my mother says. I don't know if your mother was like my mother, but she would tell me, "There are people dying in Ethiopia. You have to eat it. There are children starving in, I don't know, children starving in where? Sudan. You have to eat this. Eritrea." I was told it many times. Eat it, and I have to eat it. But now I don't do that. Because I'm no more so